Got that? For all.
Hold on, Pastor, because they're not getting any audio.
No sound. We shall dance. And we shall dance soon, Deborah. Let me know when you got sound. Is that the better way?
No, I got rid of the other one. That might be the battery.
This one works?
Well, that one does not.
Will that work at all?
It might be the battery, because it should be new.
Stay with us, we'll be right back. Hey, we got a new crowd in. How you guys doing?
Good afternoon. Good evening, hello.
I was here on April, and I introduced myself to you guys. To you, Pastor.
You're the one, you do the work, the mason work. Yeah. I still got your card. Yeah, I remember you popped in like at 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
Yeah, on a Thursday. Yeah. Praise God.
I was able to make it today.
Thank you. Praise God. Good to see you guys. So who are your friends?
My wife, Amy, and Dr.
Okay, nice to meet you guys. All right.
We're starstruck because we watch you on TV.
Really? I'm like a. Yeah. And the crowd goes wild. Yes, Sandy comes in.
That old days are gone.
So we haven't started now. We're starting over.
Yes, we started over.
Yeah, Pastor, this one doesn't have the clippy thing.
We find a mic that works.
I just take that.
Wow.
No, the clip. The clip?
Oh, the clip.
So when you were here last time, you were just down here doing work?
Yes, sir.
There we go.
There you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's the good one, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Where you guys live at? Oh, okay.
That's far enough. I mean, it ain't close.
All right, Pastor, we're going to check. I'm going to go check and see if we can hear you.
Okay. Testing 1, 2. Testing 1, 2. Can you hear me?
Hear me.
La, da, da.
Waldorf from Maryland.
Uh-huh.
I'm hungry. Feed me.
That is, you supposed to have been eating all week. I can't.
Keep talking, Pastor.
Everybody who has a Bible, you should be eating all week.
All right, Pastor, we good now.
Amen.
Never.
Can we do the prayer over again?
Huh? We're going to do the prayer over again?
They didn't hear anything.
I don't know. Ryan really went in deep. I don't know if he could do that again. All right, just say, come pray again. You can keep it simple.
In Jesus' name.
Nuh-uh. I can't.
Right.
Okay, tell me when we're live.
You're live.
Okay, pray us in, brother. Wait a minute. Take two. Go.
Can everybody hear me?
Yeah. All right.
Father God, we just thank you for another opportunity to pray to you. Lord, we praise you. We ask, Lord, that your spirit would be here with us tonight. Lord, that you would open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts to hear from your throne. We ask, God, that you would speak through Pastor Sandy tonight. Lord, show us any idol that's in our life that needs to get burned up. Show us anything that needs to be repented of that we need to give back to you, Lord, and say, Lord, forgive us.
Yeah.
Father, we thank you for the grace that was given to us on the cross.
Yes.
Father, I pray, God, that we truly understand the significance of your sacrifice for us and your calling to us to make disciples to all on the earth before you come. Father, I pray that you would use us to make disciples of all nations.
Mm-hmm.
Help us, Lord. We want to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, we love you. We honor you. We bless you tonight. We thank you for every minister and every ministry that's doing your perfect will. Anoint them and protect them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
This must have been a good message if he attacked the mics. Because I just bought that mic a week ago.
Is that right? Well, now we got a new one. Okay, I'm supposed to read this before we start. And if we're starting over, I got my card from Deborah, and I want to thank her for encouraging us, Pastor Ben. And Pastor Ben said he has. I talked to Matthew, too. He's from Kansas, too. I wonder if they know each other. Okay. I have to read this before I get started. And because the Lord said this is the first thing he wants us to know. And this is Psalms 121. It is, let's see. Okay, I'm gonna set this aside. I didn't know it was all in Hebrew. You're not gonna understand what I say anyway, right? So, well, you understand some. Now listen to Psalms 21, because Psalms 21 is our action chapter. It is the chapter that says it's time to go. So this is perfect timing for the 80 years, perfect timing for that prophecy. And so we're in summer, and this is awesome. And we got a lot of stress on us, though, right? A lot of people trying to pressure us. And, you know, this is kind of like 2 Kings chapter 18 and 19, when they're telling Hezekiah, you know, you're about to get destroyed, your days are numbered. And Hezekiah went and prayed. And after he prayed, then God gave him a word and said, hey, don't worry about a thing, right? And that's how my attitude is, but I understand that there's a lot of people that are really stressed out about their job. You know, how am I going to take care of my family if my job don't let me? You know, all of this stuff is going on. And you can sometimes forget that you belong to God. And circumstances can become reality other than Jesus being reality. And so the Lord said to read this first, and then we're going to go over our notes, okay? This is the song to ascend, the Shir Lema'alot. This is the action psalm of Psalm 21. And it says here, I lift up my eyes to the hill. Where does my help come from? Now, this is prophetic to us. You understand? Psalms 121 is for 2021. Psalms 120 is for 2020. So this psalm is to us in this year. And this is what God is saying. He's saying, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? Okay, because we're looking up like, do you see what's going on down here? Okay. And then the question is, where does your help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. That's confidence. He will not let your foot slip. You hear that? Yes. Talking to the church. He's going to talk to Israel in the second half, but he's talking to the church. He said, he will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. You hear that? So God is not asleep. He's fully aware of everything that's going on. He's fully aware of what's going on in your life. And he's aware that Satan is trying to produce fear.
Yeah.
But he says, look, I'm not going to let your foot slip. And I'm not sleeping. You know what I mean? I'm not going to slumber on you. It says, indeed, he who watches over Israel, now he's talking about Israel, will neither sleep nor slumber. So now he's saying to Israel, and they have this as a comma, but this is a completely different sentence in the Hebrew. And then he says, indeed, also, he watches over Israel, and he will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. Okay? The sun will not harm you, he's talking to Israel, by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. He will watch over your life. Why? You see, where's children? Okay, where's children? So he as much attention as you give to your five-year-old playing in the park on the swings, if he should fall, the same exact rush to attention and care God is giving to us, right? He's not haphazardly looking this way while you're doing something else. You understand? He's looking after his children. He's making sure that we're okay. If we understand that, then we become invincible because we know who we serve, right? And that's what God wants us to do. Remember after Morpheus realized that nobody could whip him? Like, if you ever watched Matrix, after he took that pill and then they showed him how to fight and then they told him, no, you're not fighting right. Like, you can be better than this, right? And then he got to the point where even if somebody pulled out a gun, he didn't even panic. He just stood there and went, okay, start shooting. Right. And he just slipped one. And then when you get to the understanding that God is watching over you and nothing is going to harm you, then you can be more confident and understand, no matter how much my enemy bluffs, I got God behind me. You know what I mean? So God wants us to have this attitude. That's why Psalms 121 is telling us that God is watching over you. Where does your help come from? From the one who made heaven and earth. Yes. So understand he's watching out for you. What was the scripture, Sunday? I've been old, I've been young, I've been old, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Okay? So please don't get caught up in the drama, because everybody's feeding the church drama, what they're going to do next. You know, they're going to come get your kids and turn them into zombies. All of this stuff, it's all on YouTube. You can stay on there all day. It'll talk to you. Okay, so that's the first thing that the Lord wants us to know. Your help comes from him. Okay, now we have breaking news. Gavin Newsom survived the recall and will remain the California governor. I am so shocked. And he's standing next to like one of the greatest election cheaters in the history of cheating, right? What was it? One state said we had 2 more million votes than we had people registered.
No.
They didn't even investigate this. You know what I mean? It's like we have a million people registered to vote and we had 3 million votes. How did this happen? So, you know, but that's him. So anyway, on the picture that you have in front of you, that's Gavin Newsom with his buddy, O'Biden. And so that's you guys have to know. Now, we need to know and understand. And it's very hard for me to tell you guys this, because then, you know, you nobody wants to sound like a weird pastor, right? There are Nephilim that look like you, just as human as you. There are television stars, some of them. They are politicians, some of them. Singers, some of them. But they don't have your DNA. They have a DNA of a Nephilim, and they have the appetite of a Nephilim. Otherwise, you don't need a place like Cannibal Clubs. You don't need Cannibal Clubs, because humans don't, that's not a night out for us. That's a horror movie, you know what I mean? But they have cannibal clubs in here, and I found out that the original one started in London. So they're, I'm probably sure they're all over. So, and you talk about Ronald Bernard, who says that these people were, they drink blood. He's like, so there's something about this group of people, the Hillary Clintons and the Barack Obamas and the Rothschilds and the royal families and all of these things that are in the world, and they look just as human as you are, but they're not, okay? Bush family, okay? But we don't see that. You know what? When we think of Nephilim, we think like a giant coming out of a cave with sharp teeth, right? And that's what a Nephilim was before the flood. But a lot of things have happened since then. They've learned how to clone. They've learned how, they've mastered cloning, okay? They've learned how to do a lot of things. They can take an adult human being and clone them and get rid of the original and just control this one. There's a lot of things going on in this world that we just don't understand. But you have to understand, the battle, the fight is against human beings and against Nephilim, okay? They hate you, okay? They absolutely 100% hate human beings. If they could get rid of all of us, they would. But they can't because God is watching over us. Mm-hmm. But you have to understand and know that there are Nephilim, okay? The second picture, if you look at that, isn't that a strange picture? Mm-hmm. You see that with the Vatican inside of the auditorium? Now, this is not even the scariest picture at the Vatican. On the other side of this room, behind this, if you were in the audience and you were looking at the other side, they have behind them a bunch of skeletons with lizard heads attached to each other behind them at the Vatican. So, but this whole auditorium looks like a snake. And so it was a long time before I realized how demonic the Vatican was. I never did really understand it, but it's a very demonic place. Until I heard a young lady being interviewed who said that she grew up in an Illuminati family and she went to a child sacrifice at the Vatican. I said, wow, that is crazy. We as human beings have no idea how much evil we're under, okay? One of the other ladies that went through MK Ultra and was being used as a slave by the government, and she went through this MK Ultra, this tormenting of this young girl till she was older, and MK Ultra was so exposed that even Bill Clinton came and apologized for it. He didn't get rid of it, or nobody got in trouble, but they admitted that it was going on. And one of the young girls said that Bob Hope was her handler, and that he was, you know, he was an Illuminatus and a Satan worshiper, and he was her handler. And I'm like, Bob Hope? Sammy Davis Jr.? I didn't know Sammy Davis. The Candyman's a Satanist? But we don't know or understand the world that we're living in and what has gone on with Nephilim and their ability to bring back Nephilim, but in a form where it looks like you, walks like you, talks like you, and you can't understand that some of them are governors, mayors,
presidents,
actors, movie directors, but they know who they worship. And so there's a difference, big difference between humans and Nephilim. Only thing is we look the same. Now, go to the next page. I'm showing you guys all this for a reason, because we're in a battle, but the wonderful thing is, it's not our fight. Because if it were, we wouldn't last. I want you to know that we would not last. If it was up to us, like if we were depending, like Trump's gonna come back, we're gonna protest, Trump's gonna come back and save the world, you'd be in a lot of trouble. So only God is gonna be able to rescue the world from everything that is under right now. So that top thing there is the Georgia Guidestones. Now, someone put that there. It's in 8 different languages, right? The top line says, maintain humanity under 500 million in perpetual balance with nature. That's the first commandment of these Nephilim or these Luciferians, right? Now if you have 500 million people, that means 7 billion would have to die. So their first commandment is get rid of about 7 billion people. So we don't understand that a human being could not have put this there. There's no human being that wants to kill 7 billion people. Like, we want to eliminate the world population and get it down to 500 million. And if we have to kill 6 billion to do it, that's okay. So a human being didn't put this, the Georgia Guidestones there. Mm-hmm. That's a Nephilim, okay? He might have looked human, but that was a Nephilim. That's someone that is, his DNA is Nephilim. And they always talk about the bloodlines. And they only marry each other. Like Hillary Clinton's daughter, who's she married to? George Soros' son, right? So they always, and if Hillary Clinton's daughter is, you know, she should have her own independent thought, but every time I see her, she has on an upside down cross. I'm like, when did she start hating Jesus?
Right.
But that's, that they understand who they are. They understand what they're doing. They understand what's going on. And they understand that they're privileged because they're Nephilim, because they're the ones that get the acting jobs, the governments, mm-hmm. All of the things that we think that, oh, if you just work hard and you one day you'll get there, you know. They're making sure that their people are your influencers, okay? The next thing, picture that we have there, is what I call a declaration of a Nephilim. Now it says here, we remember, this is Barack Obama wrote this, we remember, we rebuild, we come back stronger. Now, WWW, what does it stand for? World Wide Web? But everyone knows that a W is a Vav, Vav, Vav in Hebrew, which is a 666. So when he wrote this, he knew he was writing 666. You understand? He knew he was writing 666. So he said, we remember. Are you thinking he's writing about we remember what happened in 9/11? No, he's talking about we remember that Nephilim had families and Nephilim lived on earth, and that Nephilim were destroyed by God. They remember that. Remember when he say, Joshua, when you go in there, make sure you kill the men, the women, kill the children, kill the animals. And he was telling them kill everything. Why? That whole area was infested with Nephilim. So God was getting Nephilim off of the planet. And all of these things were going on. They're getting Nephilim off the planet. So when he says we remember, he remembers that the war against Nephilim. When he says we rebuild, he says we're back and we've found a way to not only be back, but the third one says, and we come back stronger. So now they're organized. They're our government. They're our banking system. They're our dollar system. They're everywhere in the world. And they're trying to get the whole world to be a one world government. And they're trying to get the economy, the finances, off of paper money, and so that it can be digitized, so that everyone has a digitized currency. So they've been working at this for years because they want everything to be a one world government, and they want everything to be under the control of the beast or Satan, right? So this is going on, and we're finding out how they're doing it, okay? The way to control people is to control their finances. Because if they control your finances, and then if you can't buy or sell without them having control, okay, without having their chip inside of you, then it will be very hard for you to even live on this earth. There's a lot of things going on in the book of Revelation where they're hungry, they're thirsty. He says, these are the people that came out of the great tribulation. I'm like, why are they hungry and thirsty? And all of these things that are going on. Well, if you're going through a time and you're trying to confess Christ and you'd rather be beheaded than to take the chip, you're not going to be able to buy it and go to the store and purchase. And anybody that sells you something, you're going to be in trouble. They're going to be in trouble for selling you something. Yeah. So they're trying to get the whole world under this real chip. Now, I'm not talking about this one that they're giving people so that they can ruin your health and have the ability to kill you with. I'm talking about a different one where they put and I forgot to bring it, but I have the document. Positive ID, who bought out the RFID chip. They said their thing is they're going to put a foreign DNA inside of the chip. And that foreign DNA will replicate inside of the body. So that's when I read their document of their idea of what they wanted to do with human beings, as far as ruining in their DNA, and they say, they don't say a Nephilim gene, they say we're gonna put a foreign DNA, ancient DNA inside of the chip that will replicate inside. And so, they have a website, Positive ID. You can go on, you can read about it. You can read how they purchased it from RFID. They purchased it, and then they've got into this whole big thing of how they can use this to not only put your finances, your medical records, everything on there, but also how to use it as recombinant DNA technology. So we are under this attack. So Barack said, we remember what? We remember that God killed the Nephilim. We rebuild, we're back, and we're back stronger. They are back, okay? I still think, somebody's like, Rihanna's a Nephilim. I don't understand. People like, oh, she's a singer and all this. We're talking Nephilim, okay? I'm talking behavior, okay? Watch this. If you really want to see a whole group of Nephilim dressed up, watch the Met Gala.
Ooh, dude,
that's just a bunch of Nephilim having a party every year. Yeah. And you know, and so I'm just telling you, it's right before our eyes. It's not like they used to keep it pretty hidden, but now it's right before our eyes. Everything is right there. Okay, let's go to the next page. Now, this has been their goal. Their goal is making man's DNA, DNA one. 23 chromosomes, right? One DNA, 23 from here, 23 from here, makes up your DNA, right? So, when the first towers fell, Bush read Psalms 23. Was that an accident? That means when the One World Trade Center is rebuilt, which they already planned for, Obama comes on there and reads Psalms 46, which is 23 and 23 brought together as one. And now you've got, we're going to be one DNA. Humans and Nephilim are going to be one. And they have a plan on doing it. This is why I'm trying to tell you, when people start, oh, this is it, this is the mark of the beast, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, it's a completely different plan, okay? What you're looking at is depopulation. What's coming is a completely different plan. And that plan is recombinant DNA with an ancient DNA inside of you, replicating inside of you until you become half and half. And now you are unable to be saved. And the book of Revelation says anyone that takes it cannot be saved. So John MacArthur telling people, oh, it's okay to take it. I don't know what he was on that day. But no, you cannot take the mark, because once you take the mark, it is a replication of an ancient DNA inside of you. And now you really have ruined your DNA, not just teaching it not to fight a disease. Now you're teaching it, you're replicating another whole foreign species inside of your own DNA. This is what they have planned, okay? Now, you can't tell humans this, because we think everything will be okay. As long as the malls are open, everything will be okay, right? And so we're never looking at what they're doing, because they do stuff right in front of us. You know what I mean? Like when Haiti had the earthquake, they went over and this lady was working with Hillary, and Hillary's over there, and then they have 30 something kids kidnapping them, trying to take them out of the country. And the lady gets caught. And then when she gets caught, they said, oh, these kids are orphans, we're trying to, and then found out all those kids had parents and knew where they were. So they were being kidnapped. So they put them in prison, and Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton went over and said, oh, you need to free them, let them go. And then so the lady was able to get out of prison. And then they put her in charge of, what's the alert system where when your kids, she's in charge of Amber Alert now. She's like the top lady over Amber Alert. That's crazy. So I'm like, they're doing stuff in front of you all the time. And we need to know that you're living in a very evil, dangerous world. We're going to get to the good part here in a minute. So this is what, in Psalm 46, this is what Obama stood up and said. He said, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen, not among the people of God. You know what I mean? I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. And then he sits down. That's what he read. So I'm trying to tell you, it's always going on, you know, but from the Trump era to the last day that he was, everybody should have been like, the whole world should have been in full protest. Because now everybody was talking about child abduction, pedophilia. People were dying because they were exposing other people that were involved in it. You say Trump was a part of it, but I didn't see nobody else trying to arrest the guy who had the island, Epstein. But as soon as Trump comes in, now he gets arrested. You know what I mean? And then all of this stuff, now you find out that a lot of people have gone to the island that are your favorite celebrities. They've been to the island where there's pedophiles and sacrificing kids. They've been to the island. And you got, oh my goodness, this is really going on. And people are telling you this is really going on. But now that Trump is gone, we don't even talk about the fact that now the guy that just let Newsom in, O'Biden, or what is his name again? Biden? How many videos have I posted myself of him fondling little girls? Right in front of the camera. Like, look, when I'm holding a little girl, I know where the body parts that I'm not supposed to touch. And the little girls are like this. Like, what are you doing, you know? And he had more than one video like that. And I said, there's no way this guy will be president. You can see right here he's a pedophile. And he's back, he's in the White House. So we let that whole satanic thing move back into the White House. All right. Now let's go to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. Because see, what we need to know and understand is this thing is way too big for any of us. Okay? If God's not watching over you, you are already in a concentration camp.
Amen.
I'm telling you right now, in 2006, we told people they're building concentration camps. And they got caskets at those concentration camps. And we were crazy until a guy got a TV show, and then he mentioned it. And then everybody said, remember what you guys said back there? It's really happening. It's on someone's show, some governor. And I was like, yep, that's what's been going on. So when the guy, see, we forget things. When the guy came on and said, you know, military guy, he said, you know, they just purchased 30,000 guillotines. He's a military, high-ranked military guy. They just purchased 30,000 guillotines and placed them at one of the concentration camps in Georgia. Say, 30,000 guillotines? So I'm like, oh, this is the guy that said it. A few days later, he was dead. I was like, I guess he wasn't supposed to say that. Wow. But we forget about all these little things that happen. We forget about sitting in a classroom with a bunch of kids right before 9/11 going, what are these words? Plane, say plane, kids, plane, must hit steel. Plane must hit steel. Early in the morning, before the plane hits, on 9/11, look up the video, you can see it. And you go, it is obvious that he knew that that was about to happen. But no, we forget about that. And see, so we don't understand that what's going on around us, if you don't watch, like Jesus said, commanded, watch and pray, don't, oh, I love church people, but sometimes they're so docile. It's just, praise the Lord. Oh, everything's good. Kids are back at school, la, 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 la. But, and then you bring up something and you go, ooh, that's too deep. We're trying to do what Jesus said, watch and pray. You're living in a world where there's a war on for your soul. And there's a lot of stuff going on around you. I think we're not going to really know how much we were protected from until we get to heaven. I think he should rewind it.
Yeah.
And just show everything. Some guy does a video where he does this camera that goes overhead on the water. He has a video of all the time that people were in the water and sharks were right by them and they didn't even know it. And he's got all of these cameras, like drone. These drone cameras that, and he's showing them back to back. How people are in the water, sharks are swimming around them, they don't know it, nobody's screaming because they can't see it, but you can see it from on top. And I'm like, that's how it's gonna be when we get to heaven. They're gonna say, these are all the times you were really in danger, you didn't even know it, but God was protecting you. Okay, let's go. You're in Daniel chapter 2? Okay. Daniel chapter 2. Incredible book. I was going to start way down, but we're going to start here at let's start at verse 31. Okay, so Daniel is talking to the king, and he's letting the king know this is the interpretation of your dream. Okay. Because the king had just had a dream and he wanted to know what's the interpretation of it. Daniel says God has given him the interpretation, and he said, you looked, O king, and there before you stood a large statue, an enormous dazzling statue, awesome in appearance. The head of the statue was made of pure gold, and the chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs iron, and his feet partly iron and partly clay. While you were watching, a rock was cut out but not by human hands. And it struck the statue on its foot of iron and clay and smashed them. Then the iron and the clay and the bronze and the silver and the gold were broken to pieces at the same time and became like chaff on a threshing floor in the summertime. So there's your summertime threshing floor harvest. God's letting you know again, right? Harvest time is in the summer. That's why I'm glad we're close. Okay? But then now it says, but the rock struck the statue, became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. Now, the rock that was cut out without hands was Christ. The gold, the silver, the clay were all of the world powers that are going to come into play all the way up to the end of time. So you had what? Babylon, Persia, Greece, then Rome. When Christ got here, Rome was the world power. But it says Rome is going to come back. Okay? So he's giving him the interpretation of God showing him all of the world powers that are going to come into being, and then how they're all going to be destroyed by this rock that's going to be cut out, but not by human hands, and it's going to smash all of the authority, and then they'll be so shattered like chaff on a threshing floor in the summer. Okay, so let's continue and move down here. Go down to verse 40. It says, finally, there will be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron. Iron breaks and smashes everything. And as iron breaks things to pieces, so it will crush and break all others. Just as you saw the feet and the toes were partly baked clay and partly iron, so this will be a divided kingdom. Now he's talking about the Roman Empire, because Rome broke up. When Rome broke up, it became Europe. When the Roman Empire broke up, some of the nations were strong, some of them were weak, but the Roman Empire was all of Europe. That's why when the European Union came back, it was a big shock to me, because they were saying, we're now the European Union Rome, like the Roman government is back. So think about that. And okay, so now it says, as the toes were partly iron and partly clay, so the kingdom will be partly strong and partly brittle. And then, and just as you saw the iron mixed with clay, so let me get my book here. I got to read this in the King James. As you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle. Who are they? They will mingle with the seeds of man. The seeds of man are human beings. Who are they that will mingle with the seeds of man? But they will not adhere to one another, or they will not stay together. So Daniel, in this verse, is saying that as I showed you the clay and the iron, they, whoever they are going to come and they're going to mingle themselves with the seeds of men. Well, now what does it mean to mingle? That means you mix it all together, right? And so you don't know which ones are which or who's who, because we're all mingled together. They're with us. They're living among us. They're your governors, they're your mayors, they're your actors, they're your all your politicians. They're all these people that live among you that you see as normal people. I mean, even George Bush said he was a Christian. Yeah. I mean, he's a Skull and Bones member and he's a Christian. I was like, how does he do that? So we have to know and understand that they have mingled themselves amongst us. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. What was going on in the days of Noah? Nephilim had infiltrated the whole world. There were giants all over the world. If you read Enoch, you'll find out that so many giants were being born. They were eating all of the vegetation, all of the food, to the point that said they began to eat humans because everything had ran out. And then God saw that everything had become corrupt upon the earth. But it wasn't just because of men. It was because of these angels that fell and had children with these women and these giants. And then you had Nephilim and you had humans. And then it says Nephilim began to have children with women, and these Nephilim grew to be big. And then, you'd have to read Enoch. It's just amazing story that nobody, the church, never really talked about when you grew up, okay? The fact that they're back and they look like you, they talk like you. They don't act like you, though, okay? Because they do a lot of things that you don't do, okay? Now, in this, let's keep reading. Where am I at here? I'm in 2. Oh, yeah, I lost my page. Here we go. Okay. It says, as the toes were partly clay, partly iron and partly clay, so the kingdom will be partly strong and partly brittle. And as you saw, the iron and with baked clay, so they will mingle themselves among men. In verse 44, it says, in the time of those kings, in the time of those kings, what kings? At the end time, in the time of those kings, how many kings will there be? What did they announce today? They're going to have a 10 union, separate the earth into 10 unions. And so now they want to get to when he issues out 10 kings. And so they'll have 10 governing authorities within the world, 10 kings, and these 10 governments will be powered under the Antichrist or under Satan, right? Now, let's finish this. In 44, in the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. So while the 10 kings are reigning, God's going to send his own king, Jesus, and his kingdom's never going to be destroyed. Now, here, let me before I go teaching. It says, it will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of the mountain, but not by human hands. A rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold into pieces. The great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true, and the interpretation is trustworthy. Get those words. The dream is true. There are going to be 10 kings. In the time of those 10 kings, Jesus is going to come back. They don't have 10 kings yet, but they're going to have them. Because every time God rescues, 10 have to fall, right? He rescued Israel out of Egypt. How many plagues? 10. He rescued Israel out of Germany. How many of Hitler's men got hung? 10. He rescued them from Haman. Haman died. Then Haman had how many sons? 10. So in the book of Revelation, there are going to be 10 kings, because when God comes back, he's going to not just only destroy the Satan, he's also going to destroy those 10 kings. So everything is staying inconsistent with what God has always done and what he's going to do. Now he's coming, and he's coming as a king, okay? And he's coming to destroy Babylon and all of the powers. Now, in Samuel, there's a couple things. Let's go Samuel 16. 1 Samuel 16, I believe. I'm going to show this, and I will continue to show this until the Lord comes and gets us. Because David has a problem. And David's problem is Goliath. Goliath is threatening the Jewish people. All of the Jewish people are afraid of Goliath. Okay? David is the only one that's not afraid of Goliath. And let me go ahead and read it. Let's go to chapter 17. Go to chapter 17, verse. It says, now the Palestinians gathered, or the Philistines, gathered forces for war and assembled at Succoth in Judah. They pitched camp at Ephesus and Damim, between Succoth and Azekah. Saul and the Israelites assembled a camp in the valley of Eli and their battle line to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another, with the valley in between. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. He was 6 cubits tall. I hope you have your King James. He was 6 cubits tall. He had a bronze helmet, one. He had a coat of scales, two. He had a bronze greaves, three. He had a bronze javelin, four. He has a spear shaft, five. And his spear shaft, the head of the spear shaft, weighed 600 shekels. Okay? So everything that's about this guy is 6 cubits, 6 and 6. So this is a 666 giant. When I first studied this and realized what God was trying to tell us was that the whole world is going to be under the control of a 666 giant. That's why your shot is code number 060606. That's why that's their number. You understand? But this giant, but they don't, it's not a small thing. 666 is a worldwide thing. It's an economic thing. You don't have the power to close down every business in the whole world unless you've got some real power. And not just close them down, I mean, you're shutting down businesses all over. Everybody is listening to you. Canada, Africa, India, everything's shut down. We looked at Vegas, and man, we couldn't, nobody had ever been to Vegas with the whole, all the streets cleared and everything closed. That looked so weird. But whoever this is had the power to shut down everything. And so we watched it happen. In what year? In the 120th year. In what year did the flood come? In the 120th year. So the whole wide world was under judgment in the 120th year. Yep. and we watched it happen. And now, at the end of this, this giant gets destroyed, not by David. Who does he get destroyed by? The rock. The rock hits him in the head.
Come on.
Now, we know, because we're Hebrew students, that rock is Zohar, right? Which is 296. Trinity, 888, which is who? Jesus in Greek, right? So we know that Jesus is going to destroy the 666 giant. That's why you can't put any confidence in man. Because the story was written that Jesus is the only one that's going to save us. We are fighting right now against a giant. And if you don't understand it, you don't understand that they have control over everything. They haven't even started the financial chip. I was studying this week about Bitcoin. And
10 minutes faster.
Ronald Bernard says, he said, oh yeah, but now we got them. We got the bankers. They've invented Bitcoin, and now they won't have control over our finances. Ronald Bernard works for the Beast Bank. If you know the Bank of International Settlements, if you really want to know what the world power is, you have to know about the Beast Bank. He said, oh, we thought of that years ago. The guy said, you already knew about Bitcoin? He said, we're setting it up. They want Bitcoin. We think that they were thinking that, oh, we thought of this. This is a way that the bankers can't control us. We'll have our own money system. He said, we thought of that. Because if you can't control the internet, you can't control Bitcoin. If they shut down the internet, you can't have Bitcoin. All your money is in the internet. They said, we already thought of that. That's how we're going to bring the chip in. So they're trying to make Bitcoin, and these people think, oh, we're so much smarter than the bankers. The bankers don't have. And he's like, Ronald Bernard's like, oh, we thought about it years ago. I said, you already knew about this? Yeah. Now, we don't understand what's going to go on with them when this happens, because the church will be gone. You know what I'm saying? The church will be gone. We don't understand what's really going to go on with them. You guys, we can do is read about it. Because now there's an interference between Satan and the church. The Holy Spirit is holding everything back. Nobody here has been to a concentration camp. Nobody here has seen the guillotines. Nobody in here has been, in America, has been arrested for being a Christian. This happened across other places. But on the most part, the world is still protected from what's going to go on in the tribulation. Now, the Lord said, finish with this. Think to yourself, because he just said, this prophecy is sure. And it's certain, okay? And God says, I'm watching over my word to make sure that it happens. Tribulation has been promised to earth by God. I'm gonna say that again. The tribulation has been promised to the earth by God. It's a sure thing. Amen. That means God already knows that the whole world will worship the beast. The Revelation 13 says the whole world will worship the beast. Okay, so God already knows it's coming. So then what's his concern with his people? That you escape. This is the crime of Christianity. Because we don't want to watch, so we don't want to tell people the truth. And then now, see, I'm not even welcome in a regular church. They go, what are you teaching that's crazy stuff for? We just want you to teach the baptism and speaking in tongues, you know, and how to get your breakthrough, all this stuff, you know what I mean? This is what, so if I tell you the truth, now I become this crazy guy. So God made me and Pastor Ben independent of everything. Yeah. So that we could tell you the truth. The most important thing is that when it happens, you're dancing in heaven. Because you want to be a part of the bride. Now, that makes Christians realize this is about more than saying you're a Christian. This is about being prepared to leave. Yeah. Now it changes the way you think about your Christianity. Hallelujah. Now you don't want to get involved in the world because he could come at any moment.
Yeah, right.
And so this is where we're at. The end of the story is what? Jesus rescuing us from the 666 giant. Is it here? Yes. Is it at the Vatican? Yes. Is it in the White House? Yes. We told you about the Washington Monument. Mm-hmm. Holds measurements of that 666. They put it there to worship the reemergence of Nimrod, which is the first what? World dictator. So all of this stuff, they're doing their religion. You understand? They're involved in their religion, which is Luciferianism. Your money on the back of your dollar bill is satanic. Everything on the back of your dollar bill talks about what Satan's going to do. Okay? But we never looked at it. Back in the day, me and Pastor Ben did a whole study just on the dollar bill and everything that's on the back of it. 13 steps up to the all-seeing lie of Lucifer. He's going, while he's claiming that he's going to be the chief cornerstone at the top of the pyramid, which Psalms 118 says that God has already promised Jesus he's going to be the chief cornerstone at the top of the pyramid. But Satan's thing is that he's going to do it. So now you got the all-seeing eye at the top of a pyramid on the back of your dollar bill. Everything about your dollar bill is crazy. Now you fold the money, and after 2011, you fold the money, and it's two towers. Yeah. It's two twin towers looking like they're on fire and smoke when you fold your $20 bill. So you're like, who made this money to do this? That means they're actively planning your demise all the time. We could talk all day. As Christians, we had better wake up. This is not about your church attendance. This is about your relationship with Jesus Christ. Yes. This is about praying for other people.
Yes.
And I mean praying. I love my wife. My wife is a loudmouth praying woman. And I love it. You know why? Because God told me, you don't understand her, and she don't understand you. Leave her alone. Because she loves to pray for people. And when things change and happen in people's lives, I'm sure that just urges her on, like, wow, that prayer worked. So she's more excited. So we're actively in a spiritual battle with prayer, studying, staying in relationship. We're actively in a relationship. The church has never watched for years, right? We've never watched. You know, and we had a few people back in the days, you know, that had end time prophecy things going on. But in the most part, we were never watching. No, I grew up in church all my life. I never heard about 1948. What do you mean Israel was rebirthed in 1948? You know what I mean? You go to church 40 years, you don't never even heard that Israel was rebirthed in 1948. It wasn't important.
Right.
It was, woman, thou art loose. Get your breakthrough. Name it and claim it.
Yep.
Tithing is most important.
Yep.
It was all this crazy stuff. What is God's vision for your life? Maybe. It was all about you.
Yep.
And nothing about the fact that God is setting up the conclusion of his book, and you're a part of it. So we have to be ready to go. Praise God.
Amen.
Tomorrow morning, we have a great Bible study, Pastor Ben.
Oh, amen.
All right.